Beloved, I was obsessed with Mother's Day. I was obsessed because all year long I would watch. I don't ever remember the woman taking a nap. If my sister's watching and you remember differently, put it in the chat, but I don't remember. She was industrious. She was always working. She was cooking or cleaning or helping us with homework. And she made those god-awful plastic slip covers. That's what put me through college. My mother would take a bolt of plastic, go to somebody's house, lay it out, cut the pattern, come home, sew it up. That woman has covered white shag carpet. She has covered lampshades. And she had not only clear plastic and plastic in colors, she had floral plastic. Oh, my word. But she was always busy. And she loved us. She's an amazing mom. That's why I was obsessed with Mother's Day. My father could take care of birthdays and anniversaries and Christmas, but as the firstborn child, Mother's Day was my job. And in my household growing up, you did not get paid for grades. That was your job. And you certainly didn't get paid for chores. That was the price of living in the house. So at the ripe old age of 8 in the third grade, I had very few ways of earning money. And I couldn't figure out what to do for Mother's Day. I paced, I asked questions. My aunt tried to give me money, but no, it had to come from me. I panicked. But then I remembered something. I was pretty good at helping out with chores around the house. And until my 14th birthday, we lived on Catalpa Street. And the piece of land we lived on had the house that my family lived in. And then upstairs, my aunt and her three sons and her husband. And then there was a back house. And it was an aunt and an uncle and two more cousins and some other folks who rented from my parents. So the yard on Catalpa was really small. And there was a really small plot of grass over which my mom had clotheslines hung. But it was between the house and the barbecue pit. And she hated to hang out sheets on windy days because they would blow against the house or they'd blow against the barbecue pit or they'd blow over the fence. She loved the smell of linen dried outside, but she couldn't stand her linen blowing around. Then I got an idea. I needed my dad. There were these bags around the house. If I tell you the truth, they had Crown Royal in them, but maybe not. I won't tell you that part. There were several. And I got my dad to get me all the Crown Royal bags he could find. And I found rocks and I washed them and I wrote things like, "Mom, I love you." And then I put them in the bag. And then my father figured out how to attach a clothespin. We tied the bag at the top and we attached the clothespin to it. And then when my mother hung the sheets out, she could attach one of these to each of the ends of the sheets and they didn't blow. It didn't cost me a thing. I just had to wash the rocks. And my mom looked at me and said, "That's such a good idea. Because even rocks have purpose. You just have to bring your best, Zena, and God will show you how to use it." I was ridiculously proud. I wish I had known the story of the stone soup then, because I could have shared it with my mom about the importance of rocks. You may know the story of the stone soup. There were two travelers coming through town, and they were hungry. And they walked into this town and they were trying to figure out how they would be fed, but there was a famine in the land and nobody was willing to share food. And so the two travelers asked for a big cauldron and filled it with water and put these three stones in the pot. And as the water began to boil, they would lean over it and smell like it was something delectable. And then they said, "You know, this would be better with some salt and pepper." And one villager said, "Well, that's not much," and brought the salt and pepper. And then one of them said, oh, maybe just a carrot. And somebody said, that's not much, one carrot. And then they said, well, maybe anybody have one potato or one little part of cabbage? Anybody got a little scrap salt? By the end of the hour, they had collected all that they needed, with everybody bringing just a little. And by the end of the day, there was a feast for the entire village. And the villagers said to the two travelers, are those magic stones? And the villagers said, no, the magic is in your heart when you choose to share. Beloved, what's in your hands? You see, when we meet Jesus and the disciples in the 6th chapter of Mark, they have been busy. Jesus calls the disciples. They start healing people. They heal Peter's mother-in-law. In fact, the first miracle of healing in the Gospel of Mark is in the church. Jesus heals a man in the temple and makes everybody angry. I'm always curious why the first healing is a demon in the church, but that's another sermon. But he heals this man of a demon in the temple. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. He heals a paralytic. He heals another man with a withered hand. He heals. He teaches. And then all of a sudden we find out that his cousin, John the Baptist, who has been telling the world about him, has been murdered. We find out Jesus goes to his hometown and he's rejected. Then he sends out his disciples to go do their first missionary work. And when we meet them in Mark 6, they have just come back. The disciples have just come back. They just heard about John. They just heard about Jesus' rejection. They had been successful, but they were exhausted. And Jesus says, come. Come away with me. But the crowds had heard about all those miracles. The crowds had seen what Jesus and the disciples were capable of doing. And the crowds pressed in on them so much so that there was no rest. And Jesus gathers them to teach. And he teaches all day, till the sun goes down, till it gets late. And the disciples have already announced, this is a rural place. And Jesus says, then let's feed them. You, disciples, feed them. The amount that Pierre read was like 8 months of a man's wages. And the disciples say, you want us to take that much money and feed these people? And then Jesus says to them, what do you have? And they don't even know. The text says, Jesus tells them, go and see. So they go wherever they've hidden the food, and they come back with 5 loaves and 2 fish. There's no little boy in the story in Mark. You can find him in a different gospel story. Here it's the disciples' lunch. And Jesus blesses it and breaks it and feeds 5,000 men and the women and children beyond that number. Beloved, what's in your hand? What do you have that you might bring to the Master? You see, it's just like the story of the stone soup. None of us are all that we need. None of us have everything that we need. It is why we are called into the ecclesia, the called out and the gathered, that we might bring our gifts together. I wouldn't have figured out how to make those stone weights had it not been for my dad. I needed him. I couldn't do it by myself. Beloved, whatever we are going to do for the body of Christ, the operative in that statement is the body. We must bring together who we are, our gifts and our talents. And what I like about this story in Mark, because the little boy is not there, the disciples first complain. What do you want? How are we going to feed all these people? The disciples, remember, these are the ones who've been with Jesus. They've seen his miracles. He calmed a storm and walked on the water. These are the ones who watched him heal in the midst of the temple, heal in the households. These are the ones who just came back from their own missionary journey where they were successful. And the first thing they do when Jesus asks them, basically, what's in your hand?
is to complain. But I like that. And here's why. Because when I think about what's in my hand, sometimes what's in my hand is pain. I can bring that to the master. I know it because I saw David bring his pain around Bathsheba. Sometimes what's in my hand is unforgiveness. It's okay. I can bring that to the master. I watched the disciples do it when they were unwilling to forgive some and asked if they could call down fire. I can bring to the master emptiness. I know it because I heard Peter say to him, "Where would I go? You have the words of life." I can bring to the master my failure. I heard Peter look at him and say, "Get away from me. I am unclean." And Jesus said, "No, you're the one on whom I'm going to build the church." I can bring my trouble. I can bring my heartache. I can bring my loss. I can bring it all, whatever is in my hands, because the disciples brought first complaint. And if you go back and read that text from Mark, you will see that Jesus does not upbraid them. He does not call them foolish. He does not call them faulted. He does not call them faithless. He just tells them, go and see what you have. And beloved, I believe on this day, the Savior is saying the same to us. Whatever we have, whether it is that which we think is shining and good, or whether it is that which is weighing us down, just bring it. Because when we place what we have in the Master's hands, miracles begin to transpire. In this church, in this very church, Carol and Bonnie bring their ability to reconcile our numbers and our books are good. In this church, there is one who baked brownies and a bundt cake, and I'm still hearing about her delivery of goodies because it lifted the heart of another. In this church, there is a young woman named Lauren, and if you've ever been in her presence, her smile lights up a room. Lauren only has to bring her smile, and she changes the entire trajectory of the place. In this place, Natalia and Bill bring their gift for music, and we are elevated to heaven's portal. In this place, Elaine brings her gifts of art, and we have images to which we can hold. Mark brings his gift of being here to make sure we can stream these services. What do you have in your hand? It need not be great. It need not be the whole thing. But you must bring it. You must bring it like the stone soup brought out the gifts of others, like the stones for my mother's laundry, like your gifts that might just look like a useless stone. But I promise you, in the kingdom of God, whether a stone or a smile, whether a stone or a gift of art, whether a stone or the gifts of an accountant, no matter what it is, bring it. For the God of all creation has need of it, and even more importantly, need of you. What gift? What token? I'm so grateful the hymn writer didn't say, what great and grand thing, what amazing, well put together, articulated proposal, what gift, what token, what can you bring, what can I bring to the household of faith? A stone looks useless until its measure is counted and it moves mountains and makes miracles. A little lunch, five loaves and two fishes looks useless among thousands until it's placed in the master's hands. My brothers and my sisters, come. Just like Jesus said to them, come away with me. Come. Come and bring whatever God has given you, great or small, and place it in the master's hands. At my wedding to my beloved Andre, Walter Owen sang a song. The words are, ordinary people. God uses plain, ordinary people. People like you and me who are willing to move at his command. When you place it in the master's hand, little becomes much. Come, beloved. God's word tells me that every one of you has a gift, even if it looks to you like a stone. Would you bring it, that we together might build and bring forth the door that is open for people to come into the kingdom of God? What gift? What token? What's in your hand? Our God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that you are true to your word. I am grateful that you tell us in 1 Corinthians you've given everyone gifts, and you've given them to us that we might use them for the common good. Speak to these, your sons and daughters, right now. Let them know what that gift, what that stone is, that they might honor it, that they might bring it to add to the people of God and the way the world might know you better. I thank you, God, for the greatest gift, your Son, and his work on the cross to redeem us. May we, in honor and praise of that act, bring our gifts this day, any day, every day. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Beloved, start looking for your stone. Start looking for your gift, that you might bring it to be used in the hands of a loving and creative God. Be blessed in this week as you go in search of what's in your hand. Amen.